All right. Clearly, you don't want people to know the truth.
I don't know what you're referring to.
I
stand for truth.
I tried to inform our listeners about very important information, something that is a long-running bone of contention in this show, and somehow, quotes, the audio got messed up.
Quote.
So we're going to try it again. In the Toy Story show, I put forth that the Children's Palace jingle was... Sing it.
Children's Palace, a real cool store and a whole lot more.
Yes. And we looked online and we couldn't find anything to support that claim. And I was slandered and libelized. And my...
your fist.
No, my integrity was called into question.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, our friend and fan of the show, Eric, he knows and he knew and he knows.
It's like this and like that and like this. And
Child World was the same thing as Children's Palace. And they had a commercial and it went like this.
Child World, the super toy store and a whole lot more.
And we do mean more. More tools and...
Hey, Drew. Hey. Hey, did you ever wonder why they didn't make a Grease 3?
No.
Me neither. I'm John.
And I'm Drew.
And you're listening to The Ourcive,
our ever-growing library of everything, 1 hour at a time.
It's 2012, Drew.
Yep.
30 years ago, it was 1982.
Yeah.
1982. A good year for a lot of things, but also a very good year for movies in particular. And what brought this to my attention was the fact that the Alamo Draft House, I don't know if you're familiar with them,
yep,
based in Austin,
Texas.
Started...
Well, they're a theater, yes.
They are a theater chain, thank you. And they specialize, if you will, in unique programming for theaters.
Yeah.
Stuff that goes beyond your typical first-run movies or your second-run movies.
Right.
They bring a lot of old movies back.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, pretty cool. So for the summer of 2012... commemorating the 30-year anniversary of all these movies that came out in 1982, they put together this special program, and it brought to mind just how many movies came out in the summer of 1982 and how 1982 was sort of like the first year that you were getting like blockbusters one after another.
Yeah.
And I don't mean like movies that became blockbusters, but just either movies that were expected to be blockbusters,
okay,
or became, maybe a better term is pop culture phenomenon.
Okay.
So every weekend there was something huge.
Right.
Not just another movie, but a huge movie. And movies that would endure for decades, such that we're now celebrating them by screening them at the Alamo Draft House. So that got us to thinking about how we haven't done any episodes that were necessarily dedicated to a specific movie, but
right,
this was an opportunity to both do that and do it in an interesting way.
I think that you and I really like movies.
I think I like movies more than you.
What?
Which is why I came up with this idea.
You didn't...
And foisted it upon you.
The Austin Screen House came up with it.
Shut up. What we decided to do is take a cue from the Alamo Draft House celebrating 1982 And we looked at the list of all the movies that came out in 1982, and we decided upon each of us choosing two movies that we particularly wanted to discuss.
Okay.
I'm not going to say that we necessarily liked, but two movies from 1982 that each of us wanted to discuss.
Two each.
Two each, yeah. Right. But that the other person was either not familiar with, like hadn't seen it or hadn't seen it in a long time, or was somewhat opposed to.
Yes.
What you have here is basically Drew and myself attempting to punish each other by forcing a conversation about a particular movie.
Subjecting one another to a movie that perhaps we didn't want to watch.
Right.
And
but that the other one of us really wanted to watch.
Yeah.
For the purposes of this show.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So we're going to do a movie... one movie per episode.
And one episode per quarter.
Right.
Four in a year.
Yeah.
So you'll get four of these episodes spread out over the year.
In 2012.
So for quarter one, Q1.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about Grease 2. This is my choice.
Thank you. Thank you for owning up to that.
So I looked at the list and there's... I was actually surprised at how few of the movies really interested me or that I felt like we could have a full conversation about. So yeah, Grease 2, that's what we're going to talk about. If you want, you can pause us right now and go watch Grease 2. It is available on Netflix Instant Watch, amazingly. And
for the moment, anyway.
Yeah, it's got one star. A one-star rating, which I think is fair.
Which is,
I don't think you can rate it no stars.
We could all use a little guaranteed all-the-way action.
Let's go.
The dancing is back. The fun is back. The nerd is back. They're all together again. Grease is still the word. Grease 2. You'll love it. Rated PG.
So in Grease 1, the main character, Danny,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Who is played by, what's his name?
Travolta.
Travolta. John Travolta. And Sandra?
Mm-hmm.
Sandy. They meet in the summer on the beach. They have a fling, mm-hmm. right? And then school starts. Danny plays a cool as the story progresses.
Well, and I think it's important to they represent two different spectrums of the social order in high school.
He's a T-Bird,
mm-hmm.
which are the sort of the
greasers.
Yeah, the gangs of Rydell High, which mm-hmm. is the high school that they're attending, and she is kind of a preppy,
goody two shoes.
Goody two shoes. She's not even while she is friends with. Them. She is not a member of the Pink Ladies, but even the Pink Ladies kind of make fun of her because she's
right.
such a goody shoe-twos. But over the course of the movie, Danny realizes that he really likes Sandy, right? Mm-hmm. And eventually, spoiler, they get together. And they're both like, oh, we...
They're willing to sacrifice their surface... characteristics in order to be together.
Who cares about Grease 1?
Yeah, so who cares?
Essentially, what... well, you
Grease 1 only exists in this world.
Yeah.
To so beget us. Grease 2.
So Grease 2, what happens in Grease 2 is we're back
stays in Grease 2.
We're back at Rydell High for a new school year.
Right.
I wonder if it's... if the setting, the time period is the same as the time between the movies.
It's a little, I think it is because they talk about very early on in Grease 2 that it's like President Kennedy's in office.
Yeah.
It's I think 1961.
Okay.
I think is the date. And I'm pretty sure that Grease.
Oh, the Cold War is going on.
Yeah. So in Greece, it was 50s,
political,
late 50s.
Topical, political.
Oh, yeah. Cultural touchstone.
Yes. So the new school year is starting, and Sandy's cousin, Michael, from England, has shown up at Rydell High.
Played by Maxwell Caulfield.
Yeah.
Sexy Rexy Manning from Empire Records.
And he is also friends with Frenchie. Frenchie's our bridge from the first movie to the second.
Right.
She and the staff of the school are the only returning characters from Grease 1. Why do I know that?
I can't imagine why Travolta didn't want to be associated with the sequel.
Interestingly enough, both Travolta and Olivia Newton-John had meetings to appear in Grease 2, but in the end, the producers did not want to include them.
Weird.
So they were up for it.
Hmm.
So your little snide remark there.
just throw that back in your pocket, buddy. So.
Yeah, put it away. Now, Michael is much like Sandy in that he's sort of a goody-two-shoes. A little less so, though. He's just more kind of uptight and kind of English. he meets a girl named Stephanie, and Stephanie is our Danny for this movie. Stephanie is a pink lady. She's, too cool for school. And it's put forth in this movie, and I don't know if it was put forth in Grease, that pink ladies only date T-Birds,
right,
which is the gang that Danny was a part of, and it still exists in Grease too.
Right.
So, of course, Michael
inverted the movie. Basically.
Yeah, exactly. They inverted the characters.
Right.
So Stephanie's like the cool one who doesn't want anything to do with the goody two shoes Michael.
Mm-hmm.
So over the course of the movie, Michael's trying to get her to date him and all this stuff.
Make her see him for who he really is.
Exactly.
Not just a goody two shoes.
And there's all sorts of conflict with the T-Birds themselves, with his own fears and concerns. But what he learns about Stephanie is Stephanie wants to date a man who is like a badass and who's, like lives free and doesn't care about society. And this is encapsulated in what she calls the cool rider. And the cool rider is a motorcycle.
I can't believe you just said that.
The cool rider is a motorcycle man. She would love Ghost Rider. Can you imagine if he rolled into town?
You know what? Both of these franchises are at that three mark, the installment.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could bring them together here.
Yes. Crossover.
Grease Rider.
So Michael finds out what she wants, and then he takes on an alternate personality, an alter ego, cool rider.
Yes.
He learns how to ride a motorcycle, and he's very adept at it.
Because he's British. Yeah.
Yeah. And he impresses Stephanie, and it's very mysterious. He doesn't reveal who he is, and she's in love with him, and et cetera, et cetera. By the end of the film, he reveals to her that he is the cool rider. She's like, I don't care. I like you. I like you, and I like the cool rider. Because she sort of warms up to him as just
right,
Michael.
Just his natural state.
He also impresses the T-Birds enough to become a member of the gang.
He defends them because there's a rival gang.
Yeah, we'll get into that. But in the end of the movie, they're together, and much like Grease 1, there's a big sort of celebration at the end, and they all sing together. So there you go. Classic sort of story, right? Right? Is that fair?
Everybody goes bowling.
Is that fair?
That's basically it, yeah.
Oh, this is going to be a wonderful year, Blanche.
Oh, wonderful. Oh, Mr. Gee!
Spending my vacation in the summer sun. Getting lots of action, having lots of fun. Soaring like a bandit till the bubble burst. Suddenly it got to be September 1st. Whoa! All summer long.
about the music.
God.
Let's start with that.
Well, okay, for the record, I want to point out that I started out watching Grease 2. The very first scene is this really elaborate musical number on the front footsteps of the school.
Of Ride
and I actually think it's really good.
You like the opening number?
I love the opening, yeah. And as it's going on, I'm thinking like, wow, maybe this isn't going to be so bad. Maybe this is actually going to be, maybe this is going to redeem Grease, you know? Maybe this was all we needed, was we needed to get through the first movie to get to the second movie. And now, you know, we've gotten all of the nonsense out of the way, and this can just be fun. This can just be like this really over the top, just boisterous, wow, awesome. And it's not.
I really dislike that opening song.
Really?
Yeah. I have some issues, and it's funny, you know, you said earlier that nitpicking this movie. I don't have a problem believing that a group of people will break out into song and choreographed dance.
Okay.
I don't have a problem with that.
Okay.
Fine. Fine with me. I do have difficulty believing that multiple cliques in high school would dance together.
Oh, okay.
That the preps and the greasers and the punks and, well, there weren't punks there.
Right.
And the nerds and the popular kids, that they would all dance together happily.
In unison, yeah.
And not
That's
even...
That's a good point. That's a
not
really
even
good point.
Like... In that, not like here's the pocket of greasers dancing and here's the pocket of nerds dancing, etc. They're mixed up.
Yeah,
I don't buy that.
They're meshed. Yeah.
I do not buy that.
No, that's a very, very good point. So from the get go,
there is no
this
unification.
This movie has lost credibility.
High school is not about unification.
Right.
Right.
Right. Yeah, it's about the complete opposite.
Unless
even going deeper than that, that's what Grease is about. Grease is about the fact that these social groups don't mix.
Yeah. So I think the movie gets it way wrong in that opening title, opening scene, opening song.
Yeah.
Which is entitled Back to School, I believe.
Back to School. And it's terrible.
It
and that
is
was my first clue.
Horrible.
Like, okay, the staging and everything. Like, I love the enthusiasm. I love, like, all of the energy and the choreography and everything.
And then the song.
But the song is so awful.
It is bad.
And they all are. Like, it sets a great precedent for the film.
Not all of them.
Because
one of them is great. All but one are awful.
Okay, which one?
We'll get to it.
Okay.
What was also struck me, and it shows up in this opening song, is how blatantly sexual the film is.
Yeah.
Like, there is so much sexual tension underlying every moment of the movie, which... I guess could be considered somewhat accurate about
high
schoolers.
You could say it's,
but the one example that I'm thinking of is in that opening scene. Every once in a while, the song will break so that they can have dialogue and introduce a character here and there.
Right.
And they've broke to introduce the T-Birds, who I really like.
They're the best part of the movie. I think. All right, go ahead.
I think Frenchie might be the best part of the movie, but I have a lot of affection towards her.
Yeah.
Towards Dee Dee Khan. Dee Dee Khan, who is the actress that plays Frenchie.
Yeah.
But anyway, they are sort of like, you know, joshing and joking with each other, and one of the teachers shows up, and she's sort of supposed to be the hot older teacher. And
you can tell because she's wearing black, just like the T-Birds.
Is she?
Yeah.
She's got like a little sweater tied around her shoulders, though.
Yeah.
And to their credit, they picked a very attractive woman.
Yeah.
An attractive older woman, too. Like, it was, you know, they didn't hire some... It wasn't ridiculous the way that you're supposed to believe that all these kids are in high school.
Right, right.
Or are high school age.
Yeah.
Like, she looked the part.
Yeah.
But basically, she stops to talk to the T-Birds, and she says, "I hope to see you all. I hope to see all of you in music appreciation class." And the head T-Bird says, and I think he sort of pushes his shades down.
Yeah, yeah.
He says, "I hope to see all of you in music appreciation class." And her response is, "Maybe you will."
Yeah, yeah.
What is that?
Hey, what? I can, it's high school, Drew.
I see his response. That makes sense.
Right.
Her response is just alarming. Like, could you imagine if you're one of the T-Birds and you make the teacher, you hit on the teacher like that and she comes back with that?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
She turned the tables on
him. She did turn the tables on him.
Bam. Right back in your face, T-Birds. So
that's the opening song is pretty bad. Mm. I mean, it is bad. There's a lot. I wrote in. So I took notes while I was watching. And here's one of my descriptions. Lots of posturing. What did I expect? Some people look confused while dancing. I don't know if you noticed that, but there were people who looked like they weren't sure.
They didn't know what they were doing.
Yeah.
No, but I did notice there were people who were like very, very into it. Like
when
they're walking up the steps, there's like one girl sort of on the right side of the screen who you can't see who she's dancing with, but she's like, has this very intense, and she's not looking at anybody else. She's not noticing the main characters of this story walking past her, you know?
This is the problem inherent with this movie. Is none of, like, I suppose one could argue that a choreographed dance number could never look natural.
Right.
Like, as if it could ever happen in real life.
Right.
But the dancers.
Nowhere is it so distractingly so.
The dancers, you're right. There are a lot of them that are incredibly determined and focused. And, like, they are dancing their hearts out.
Yeah.
And it is incredibly distracting.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think, and then this goes sort of along with one of my notes, and it's that you're looking at these dancers and you're fixated on them. And part of that, at least for me, I think, is because this is all you have in this movie. Because, you know, like we said, okay, they've inverted the characters. So you have the, instead of the sort of bad guy or you know, cool guy and
good girl.
Square girl,
yeah.
You have the square guy and the cool girl.
Yeah.
But there is no existing conflict there.
No.
They didn't meet over the summer and
that's
fall
the thing.
In love.
Yeah,
so they've lost that thread. So there's no tension from the get-go. It's
right.
Other than, and it's very one-sided. He
continues to make overtures.
Right.
She resists.
Yes. And we have no reason to, nothing is clear why this particular girl impresses him.
Yeah. It's seemingly physical.
I guess,
the only thing you could infer.
But she, and it's hard. It's hard to buy that even because, yeah. One, like Michelle Pfeiffer has no presence in this movie as far as I'm concerned.
Stephanie.
She plays Stephanie, and she might as well not even be there.
I agree with you.
She is so.
She may be the worst
unengaged
actor in the movie.
Yeah, she's just so terrible.
Yeah,
and she's. The other problem with it is, like, she doesn't have anything to do. Like,
yeah,
they set up, I guess there's a line of dialogue in there where she says she's looking for the cool rider. She's looking for this badass biker.
About it.
Yeah. But we don't, there's nothing for her to pine for, you know, until he becomes the cool rider or whatever. She's doing nothing except avoid him.
The problem with it as well is that the cool rider already exists. There is a cool writer in the movie for her, and it is
but
the
it's
leader
not...
of the rival
right,
gang.
Right.
And that dude is the most badass dude that shows up in the whole movie.
And they never make that connection.
Yeah,
they never capitalize on
to
that.
To not care. And it's like, this dude's got, like, scars from chicken pox on his cheeks, and he's got spiked hair. He doesn't go to school.
Right.
He's got a whole gang. Like, he's got a real gang.
Yeah.
The T-Birds are four dudes who wear jackets.
Yeah.
And they ride motorcycles.
Right.
But
they're a pretend gang, basically.
Yeah, they're a pretend gang.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really good way to put it.
Yeah, I mean, they don't have any territory or anything.
And it's
they're
never
not like
it's never made more evident than when they run into the real gang.
Yeah.
And they're clearly afraid, you know.
Yeah.
But Michael's eventual transition into a cool writer, like it doesn't make sense to me because he is not the first cool writer that Stephanie has encountered.
Right. It's so not like the cool writer finally stepped out of her dreams and like became real.
And we also, I can't believe we're talking about it like this, but we also have no understanding of why she wants that.
Yeah. Like what, there's no motivation there whatsoever. Like, nothing's ever explained.
Yeah. Prior to the movie beginning, we are led to believe that, or it is stated that Stephanie was dating Johnny, and Johnny is the current leader of the T-Birds.
Right.
And fun fact, in IMDb.com's trivia, it says that Johnny is Danny's cousin.
Okay.
But they left that out because they thought it would be just, you know,
too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's too much for the audience. Grease too to swallow.
So, she has dated Johnny, and I would argue that Johnny is adequate in fitting the cool writer mold to a degree. He is like the baseline.
Mm-hmm.
He only just makes it as the cool writer, right?
Right.
He has a motorcycle. He is somewhat rebellious to authority.
Yeah, in the context of Rydell High, he is the cool guy. Yeah.
So it's sort of confusing that Stephanie wants sort of what she already has available to her.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know why.
Right.
And we also don't know why Michael has any interest in Stephanie because she is vapid.
Yeah.
And she is... every time he tries to engage with her, she's a jerk.
Mm-hmm.
Until sort of later in the film, she starts to warm up.
Yeah.
But she also seems not particularly intelligent. Like there are very few redeeming qualities about her.
Largely nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing that she contributes to the movie.
So yeah, you're right. There is not a whole lot to grab onto. So when things like very determined and focused dancers start appearing, you start to focus on
that. You're just like, give me something to look at.
And speaking of that, it makes me think of the next song, which is we're going to score tonight, which is set in the bowling alley. A thinly veiled euphemism.
Very. You got to dig deep to figure that one out.
But it's a song and dance number that takes place in the bowling alley where they talk about scoring tonight. And one of the really incredible moments in that dance number is at one point they're doing sort of a breakdown, like a bridge or something, right? Mm-hmm. It's just music and dancing. And they start doing these shots of people spinning, like a guy holding a girl spinning her.
Right.
And for whatever reason, they've chosen to speed up the tape so that they're spinning at an absurd speed. Really ridiculous. And everyone's so serious while they're spinning. Or they're smiling stone-faced. Weirdly.
Mm-hmm.
Or like there's
artificially.
Oh my gosh, it is so strange.
And so they got like a weird cast of dancers. Like they got people who are not dancers, they're like just extras, you know, but they could dance.
Yeah.
And then they've got people who are dancers.
There is no in between, exactly. Yeah. They have like the best, most focused, angry dancers. And like
angry
just
dancers.
People they found.
Yeah.
But
yeah, that's a totally,
that that's bowling exactly. scene, the bowling alley scene.
Oh, man.
I had a real problem with the dance number because every single ball that is bowled in that dance number would not have counted because they're constantly crossing the foul line. Constantly.
Last game coming up, winner take all, agreed?
But they just shoot the ball.
Shoot the ball.
Shoot the ball!
Come on, everybody, gather round. I'm gonna show you how to knock them down. When I'm on the ball, I'm the number one. And I'm gonna show you how it's done.
we're gonna roll, we're gonna bop, we're gonna roll.
Let's talk about the T-Birds.
Okay. I love the T-Birds.
The T-Birds are great.
Because I have to, because there's nobody else in this movie.
They're hilarious.
But they are genuinely entertaining. And like they have a really good rapport with each other.
I prefer them to the other T-Birds in Greece.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. They finally realized that concept. Like these guys feel like a close-knit group.
Yes.
And they feel like they have a place in this world.
The scenes that they're in are much more enjoyable because they're genuinely funny.
Yeah.
There is a rule that, did I already say this? There's a rule
that the
pink ladies are not allowed to date anyone other than
T-Birds. Yeah. So I guess that's sort of why the T-Birds are so interesting to me, partially because they're genuinely funny, but also because there's a palpable, struggle there for the T-Birds because not only are they being challenged on the front of the rival gang who shows them up pretty much every time they're on screen.
Yeah.
But they're also, their integrity is being challenged by the fact that there is now a pink lady who is pursuing somebody else outside of there. So that's interesting.
Yeah.
The part with the T-Birds is interesting.
Yeah.
And they're not even the main focus of the movie.
They also have this desire that one of the main events in the movie is this impending talent show.
Yes.
And for whatever reason, the T-Birds have this desire to win the talent show. I forget. Like, there was a prize that they wanted. It was for, like...
Well, it was like the king and queen of the talent show.
But you also got, like, money or something towards a music shop, I think. I think they could have... It was like a gift certificate.
They get an iTunes card.
But there's that. They consistently, through the movie, have interesting struggles.
Yes.
On the other side of the coin is the pink ladies. Mm-hmm. And I don't really like
any of the pink ladies.
Except for the mascot. The little girl.
Yes,
That Michael kind of befriends at the beginning, and then they forget about that for a while, and then very end they remind you, oh, yeah, I remember he was nice to her.
Befriend. Yeah, and that, again, I think could have been interesting in a different movie where it's more of a struggle for Michael to do anything.
Yeah.
But
she could have been his mentor in a way.
Yeah.
But that, and it's set up at the beginning as if that may happen.
Yeah.
But it doesn't.
No. And she sort of has struggles too, but
she wants to be a pink lady, but she's too young. And
but that's totally dropped. I mean, like the significance of that is just forgotten about. It all comes to a head, really. Like, you sort of feel like, okay, maybe this can work if they just get their act together. And then they go into this talent show.
If who gets their act together?
If the movie gets its act together. If everybody involved in this will finally, like, just right themselves. You think, like, okay, we're at the hour mark. Maybe they can turn this around in the third act and it will be great. And then they get to this talent show and there's this performance.
Oh, no.
Where
is it? Which performance?
It's the Michelle Pfeiffer
Girls of All Seasons. They get through like each season and they finally get to winter. And Stephanie is our winter. She's wearing a Christmas tree dress. And she comes out and she's looks as vacant as she ever has. Oh, and what you should know if you haven't seen the movie is that at this point, she believes that the Cool Rider is dead.
Yeah.
Because the T-Birds chase the Cool Rider to Dead Man's Curve, where there is no curve. There is only a dirt ramp off into abyss. And she thinks he's gone off this dirt ramp and died.
Yeah.
So she's upset. And she's revealed as... As the girl for winter, they're singing, and I think she gets through her part of the number, and then they all collect, all the girls in the number collect onto stage, and they start to sing the final refrain, and she stops singing. And there's this really weird, like, voiceover of, like, Stephanie, what's wrong? Oh, my God, is she okay? Like, no, you can't see anyone talking. You only see her face staring vacantly off into the distance and these weird voiceovers. And then the music, the girl for every season music fades out and she launches into what is, in my opinion, the worst song of the entire movie.
Yeah.
That becomes a ballad of the fact that it's the death of Cool Rider, and Cool Rider is imploring Stephanie to not forget him ever and that someday they'll be together again. And he's standing atop a hill of wrecked motorcycles in completely white leather and a white helmet. And she's in like all white. I suppose it's like heaven.
Right.
And it is horrible. It is. This is a moment where I felt bad that I made you watch it. Cause I hated every moment of it.
I was just fascinated because I recently watched Xanadu for the first time. Have you ever seen Xanadu?
No, I have not.
So that is like what Olivia Newton-John did after Grease.
Yeah.
And it's awful.
Yeah.
And there is this, the conceit of Xanadu is sort of that there's these like fairies or sprites. I don't know. They're like these mythical creatures that sort of come out of a painting, or maybe they were like gods. I can't remember. Anyway, they had like they were you know sort of ethereal beings that had taken flesh on Earth or whatever. Okay. And so Xanadu, anything can happen in Xanadu because it's you're dealing with this mysticism, right? And it bombed. It was a terrible movie and it bombed. So this is 2 years later after Xanadu, and they're trying to out Xanadu in Grease 2. And doing even worse. You know, they're making it worse.
That it is abysmal.
Yeah.
It really is. I mean, I can't even imagine that at the time anyone enjoyed that song. Yeah.
I would love to like to hear someone react to that in 1982. Like, I mean, I feel like it's very easy for us to look back 30 years later and be like, what were they thinking? You know, people do that all the time.
Yeah.
But this is a case where you have to believe that people were actually there in the moment and they were saying to themselves, what are they thinking?
I think that people could have watched Grease 2 when it came out and enjoyed the majority of it.
Mm-hmm.
But at that point, I can't imagine anybody did. Are you going to put that song?
I might.
Are you going to make people listen to it?
I might have to.
So I keep referencing the fact that I think there's a good song.
Yeah, yeah. Lay it down, man. What's the good song?
Reproduction.
I have that in my notes, too. Except it's not called Reproduction. It's called The Pollination Song, according to my notes.
Yes.
And I have written here, The Pollination Song, really?
I love it. I enjoy the song. I like to listen to it. I think I have some notes here about the reefer. I mean, I was looking forward to when it would finally come.
Yeah.
Where do I have it? Here we go. I noted that during the beginning of this song, and this just makes you love the T-Birds. They're in the background of the shot and they're just thrusting their pelvises. like they're not singing. They're not dancing. Right. They're just like over and over standing in a row, thrusting. It is excellent. Chris McDonald has a lot to do in that song.
Yeah.
He gets to run around and, he's the bass of that song. So one of the repeating lines is, where does the pollen go? And he says, where does the pollen go? There's one moment where all the girls are sort of holding their, the song is, I should say, Reproduction. They're in science class, I guess.
Yeah.
And the professor is talking about how plants reproduce, to start with. And, he's, you know, describing sex, but he's describing it by talking about pistils and stamens and stuff like that. And so they're all making all these lewd jokes. But at one point, Chris McDonald, a.k.a. Goose, runs through the class. The girls all hold their arms up above their heads. They form a circle with their arms above their heads. And he sort of dips his hands into each circle as if he's pollinating. So, I really like that.
It's high school, Drew. This is what high schoolers do.
I like...
You remember that. You remember the pollination class where the biker gang simulated pollination?
I like how nervous the substitute teacher is while the song happens. Yeah. There's a great moment where some nerdy guy, like one of the girls, is very forward with him, and he says, "I think I'm gonna throw up." It's just great. I think it's a really good song.
I think I'm gonna throw up.
It's my favorite song. Just how the stain and gets its lusty dust on through the stigma. And why this frenzied chlorophyllous orgy starchy spring is no enigma. We call this quest for satisfaction a what class?
A photoperiodic reaction.
Oh, that's good. Oh, that's very good.
Hey, I'm lost. Where are we?
Chapter 2.
Page 5.
Reproduction.
Reproduction. Put your pollen tube to work.
Reproduction.
Reproduction. Make my stamen go berserk.
Reproduction.
I don't think they even know what a pistol is.
I got your pistol right here.
So I read on IMDb that they made this movie with the intention of following up with two more Grease movies.
Good God.
That this was going to be the second of four of a series of Grease movies, and each time would be a different class.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think Grease 3, like, how would they have turned it on its head? Grease 3.
Man, I don't know. Other than maybe like, if I were making it today,
that'll be Grease 4.
Okay.
What's Grease 3?
Grease 3.
This is the 90s. Grease 3 comes out in
the 90s.
In the 90s.
So that means it's probably set
the
late 60s, let's say.
Yeah.
So it's like counterculture.
Okay.
There's hippies and drugs.
Okay, so we're going to have a male and female protagonist.
Yeah.
Which one is a hippie?
The female.
So let's say the pink ladies are hippies now.
Yeah, okay. That's good. Yeah.
All right.
Or stoners. We'll say stoners. Maybe not hippies, but, you know.
Okay.
So then the guys, I don't know, because you could still have a biker gang in there. I feel like it's not Grease if you don't have the biker gang.
Okay, so the T-Birds are still the T-Birds.
Still the T-Birds, yeah.
You still got the T-Birds.
Yeah.
Third generation T-Birds.
But maybe now you also have like student politician type characters, you know, very like
activist group,
activist oriented.
Where's the conflict? Like, so our male protagonist has to be in conflict with our female protagonist, who is a pink lady, and they are now sort of stoner, mm-hmm. hippie kind of characters,
mm-hmm.
free love. What does our male protagonist embody that does not jive with that? And you can have jive in this movie too.
The story that I think sounds most interesting,
yeah.
and I know they would never do this, especially not at
the
time.
You're in charge.
I would make it an interracial conflict.
Oh, yes.
So that like one of the characters is African American and
yes.
one is Caucasian.
Yes.
And this is it causes all sorts of stress for everybody.
Yep.
But it's comic stress, so it's okay.
It's comedic stress. Yeah. Absolutely.
And then at the end,
were the Black Panthers around?
Sure. Yeah.
Late 60s. So maybe he's a Black Panther.
There you go.
She's it's kind of Forrest Gump. Because in Forrest Gump, Jenny was a free love kind of drug abuser, and she fell for a Black Panther guy.
So that we can have Gary Sinise is in it.
But I like it. So he's a member of the Black Panthers.
Yeah.
He's an activist.
Okay.
She's a laid back sort of stoner.
Non-committal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they fall for each other, mm-hmm. but they don't want to admit that they did.
But and yeah, and no one, maybe the difference here is that they don't have any problems being together themselves, but everybody else has a problem with them being together, including the school and the neighborhood or the town or whatever.
Yes. There can be a song and dance number at a Black Panther gathering.
Yes.
There can be a, sort of drum circle song and dance number.
Good, yeah.
What else can we have? How do the T-Birds figure in? Are they, again, sort of a pretend gang?
Yeah.
Like, do they ever face...
I don't think they ever change. I don't think the T-Birds ever change.
They will never change.
Yeah.
Good.
They remain steady throughout the whole thing.
Goofball, you know, comic relief.
Yes.
The T-Birds. So they'll run up against the Black Panthers every once in a while and kind of like butt heads.
And the Black Panthers are totally dead serious.
Yeah.
And
they don't
the T-Birds are comics.
Absolutely. Yeah. But they, the T-Birds will be their standard selves.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of other dance song and dance numbers you could have in there. You could have some sort of rally.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the final dance number is there's a rally.
Ends at Woodstock or something.
Yeah, but you got to keep it at the school.
Oh yeah, okay.
Or it has to be related to the school.
Maybe they host their own Woodstock.
Yeah, Rydell Stock.
Yeah, Rydell Stock.
Yes. So Rydell Stock, you've got, you know, numerous bands. The T-Birds are going to play Rydell Stock.
Yes.
That's their conflict is to get good enough to play Rydell Stock.
And throughout the story, they're trying out different musical genres.
Yes.
Like they try to be Jimi Hendrix and they try to be Bob Dylan and they can't. Yeah.
Oh, there that's excellent. That's excellent.
We need to make this movie.
Oh, man. Okay. So that's Grease 3.
That's Grease 3.
Grease 4. You're making it today.
Okay.
When's it set? Grease 3, the nerd character, he could be very interested in the space race.
Oh yeah,
that can come into it
at the end of it. He
can
actually launches.
Song. He could. This final shot of the movie, like they're graduating. There's a shuttle, there's a rocket going up, and they cut to him, and he salutes. No, yes, he's waving. Exactly, he's got a goofy wave. He's got like no apparatus on, no astronaut costume. You just see him in a window of the rocket waving. Oh yes, okay, good. So, Grease 4, it's coming out in 2013.
Okay,
when do you set Grease 4?
Well, it's Grease 4 is a remake.
No, it's a series. This is part of a series.
But that's at this point, that's where it goes. It's a reimagining. It combines all of them.
You're copping out right
it's
now.
It's a prequel?
You
no,
are
I'm serious.
Copping
I'm,
out.
What I'm saying is if they were making...
No. Look, they were going to make four of these movies.
Okay.
The fourth, they're contractually obliged to make four Grease movies.
Right.
And they're on the fourth. It cannot be a remake.
All right.
Or a reimagining.
Okay.
It's got to finish the story. The epic saga of Grease has to be tied up in this movie.
Uh-huh.
So you have to resolve the T-Birds, the Pink Ladies. You probably have to call back to all the couples that have, you know, have they succeeded? Where are they now? Right. Mm-hmm. So in a way you can, if you want, you can go back to those previous stories, but you cannot reimagine.
All right, then. Here's where I go then.
Okay.
It's going to be set, late 70s, early 80s.
Okay.
It's going to be the children of Danny.
Good. Okay. You're good.
And now we have, Rydell High is being closed. So that's the overarching storyline.
I honestly got a little upset.
Did I just took your breath away?
That's good though. That's good. Yeah.
Right. Right.
It's
High
the last
being
year.
Closed.
Last year.
It's the last.
It's the final
the
graduating,
final graduating class.
Class.
Right. Yeah.
Lots of lamenting can happen in the movie.
Yes. Yeah. Everybody pining for the days gone by, and now of course it's 30 years on from the, or 20 years on from the setting of the initial one.
Yes. Propose that the class we focus on is actually the junior class and not the senior class, so that they can lament that they won't graduate from Rydell.
Oh.
So that's source of their conflict.
Interesting. Okay. Because
they feel like, oh, we were going to rule this school.
Right.
And it's in the T-Birds, I feel like they're not going to get their fair shake at, you know, being the big guys and
right, yeah,
stuff like that.
Okay, I'm with you.
So junior, it's their junior year. They're all going to have to disperse and go to other schools.
Right. We still got the T-Birds, of course.
Yeah, they stay.
Right. But we also have, now we've got punks.
Yes. I think that's one of our two.
Yeah.
Male or female lead, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Which one is it? I think it's going to have to be the girl because in Grease 3, the guy in Grease 3 was the more like
The radical,
strong-minded kinda radical one. Yeah.
So okay, the girl, so we reverse it again.
Yeah, you got to flip it each time.
Yeah.
So now the girl's, she's punk rocker.
Yeah. Who's the guy?
Republican?
Maybe. Like Alex P. Keaton?
When did Reagan come into office?
80.
So maybe it's 1980.
Could be 1980.
He's a Reaganite.
Yeah. Yeah. He's
a young Republican.
Young.
Yeah, he's an
conservative.
Alex P.
Keaton
kind of
guy. He's a, enterprising businessman.
Yeah.
Entrepreneur. and maybe.
He can.
Maybe. It's his father who is buying the land that is.
Oh my gosh.
He's buying,
on his suggestion.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. He's like, you know, this. Maybe what happens is Rydell is in danger of being closed.
Yeah.
And he sort of lets out some sort of information about the school, like it's not stable or something.
There's zoning laws that have been ignored.
There's a loophole or something.
Yeah. And that they could exploit.
Yes.
If they so wished.
Yes.
And one of his sources of conflict is his father doesn't take him seriously, doesn't, you know, believe that he has the business acumen.
Right.
And so what he's trying to do is prove to his father that he does. So he researches, and his dad's trying to look for land for this new development, something called
condos.
A mall, this crazy.
Oh, a mall.
Yeah,
that's perfect.
This new concept of like indoor interior store facing stores all in one large complex.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And so
with a food court.
Exactly.
And an arcade.
And so he's like, well, if I could find land for dad to, you know, build, then he'll think, you know, I know what I'm doing. So he realizes, he overhears some discussion in class, maybe in business class, about how and it just so happens that Rydell High is built in a location that is blah 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 blah, right? And he goes and he researches, oh my gosh, I can exploit this loophole. Dad, guess what, son, that is, you know, you've really done well for me. I'm going to put you in charge of this deal.
Uh-huh.
So now he's in charge of the deal. But he falls for a punk rock girl.
Susie Sue. Yeah.
Susie Sue. What's her deal?
Well, I think if we introduce one like parental dynamic, we have to have another.
Yeah.
So maybe it's that instead of the child not being taken seriously by the parent, you have the reverse where the parent is not being taken seriously by the child.
Well, so her parents have to be Danny and Sandra, right?
Yeah, I guess you're right. Good
Unless
point.
We want his parents to be Danny and Sandra.
I don't
know if Danny fits the
maybe they're not
Sandy.
The parents Sandy of the lead characters. Maybe they're the parents of like the head T-Bird.
Okay.
And the pink lady.
They're a cameo appearance.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So her parents, she doesn't take them seriously?
Yeah.
So what
she
are they? Are they yuppies?
Yeah, maybe. No, because we've already got like.
Yeah,
the,
you're right. Yeah.
Maybe they're hippies. They're like ex-hippies. And she's like, you guys, you know, you didn't.
Yeah.
You gave up too easily. You know, she's like, I'm fighting for the.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Are the Pink Ladies all punk rockers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
I love that the Pink Ladies keep changing now.
Yeah.
The T-Birds stay
the same. They stay the same.
And the dynamic has to remain that Pink Ladies only date T-Birds.
Only date T-Birds, yeah.
And I think the T-Birds can also be a nice foil for our male protagonist to, like, get him to loosen up or something. Like,
yeah.
I think he does have a longing to be less uptight, or he sees some value in what the T-Birds embody and in what, obviously, the girl that he is sort of falling for embodies.
Yeah.
But he's having a hard time, like, justifying that or reconciling that with who he is, who he believes he is, and who he should be.
Yeah.
And there can be a great song and dance number where they teach him how to be a T-Bird.
Yeah.
Huh?
It's good. That's good. I think at the end of this movie,
the nerd is a senator.
Okay. Or
he was an astronaut.
Right.
And now he's a senator.
Now he's a senator?
Yeah.
Okay. I could go with that.
I just wanted to put that.
Or I was thinking maybe he becomes like Steve Jobs or something like that.
Oh, okay.
You know,
a very early Steve. Like,
yeah.
Right at the beginnings.
Yeah, yeah. On the cusp of it. Like, yeah. He creates artificial intelligence, like a very basic.
Is there a robot
form.
In this movie?
Oh, yes. There's got to be a robot in this movie.
Yeah.
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 That's his comic foil.
Yeah.
Is the robot.
He's science teacher. No, that's who he
go.
Is.
There you go.
And he's got a robot assistant that he's created.
Yes. I like that.
Yes.
So I think at the end of it, I think Rydell, they lose Rydell. They lose Rydell High, and there's a big farewell thing.
Ballad.
Yes. And that's sort of the what you think is like the down point.
Yeah.
You know?
But
then they build the mall, and the kids take over the mall.
Oh, man!
And claim it for themselves.
Yes!
And so there's this triumphant number.
The T-Birds have turf.
Yeah.
The Pink Ladies have a hangout.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. You nailed it.
Yeah.
There's a final number. So, yeah, you
mall.
Think it's sad. You think
escalators
it's over.
And water fountains.
Oh,
and...
my gosh.
Yeah.
Grease 4, 2013. Wow. I would see both of those movies.
I would, too. Maybe. Not.
We need to write these movies.
All right. I guess we better do that.
And maybe in the mall, in the final... Mm-hmm. scene, we can see everyone from the past films. They're all shopping.
Yeah, yeah.
They
or they own
little
stores
part.
Or
yeah.
something. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. It didn't work out between Stephanie and Michael. Like, they didn't... The relationship didn't
right,
last.
Fizzled.
They're the one that fizzled. Everyone else was fine. But they did not make it. Like,
yeah.
Because she is so...
just vacant.
Yeah.
Nothing there.
Like, she immediately tires of him and wants a cool writer. It's like, I am a cool writer. Like, that's why you fell for me, right? No, you don't understand. I need a cooler
writer.
A cooler writer. And if he's cooler enough. Oh, man. All right.
Wow.
Well, we can only hope that Grease 3 and Grease 4 get made.
Yeah, we're going to go work on them right now.
All right, put Grease 2 in the archive.
Grease.